Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Can the systemic failures at Indian Health Services be fixed? Senator John Thune brings the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs to Rapid City this week. Staff from the committee will host a town hall meeting to discuss Senator Thune's IHS Accountability Act of 2016. That's happening today at 2 p.m. Mountain Time in the Rapid City Administration Building. Tomorrow, Friday, June 17th, there is a field hearing on the IHS Accountability Act at Central High School Auditorium in Rapid. That's at 10:30 Mountain Time. Representative Christy Noem and Senator Mike Rounds will also participate in the field hearing. We caught up with Senator Thune this morning in Washington for a conversation about accountability, transparency, treaty obligations, and moral duties.
It was largely developed based on feedback from tribes and people who've been impacted by the failings of Indian Health Service. And, you know, which came to a head, of course, late last fall when a couple of our hospitals were put on diversion status. And so, you know, we immediately jumped in and were trying to obviously address the issue of getting those hospitals opening again, but in the same time wanted to look at what do we do to get a long-term fix in place. And of course, we had a hearing, an Indian Affairs Committee hearing earlier this year in which we had tribal members and tribal leaders testify. We've been consulting with them, and the legislation that we have come up with is in response specifically to the crisis, the sense of urgency associated with the most recent problems there, but also something that we think helps put long-term remedies, long-term solutions in place. And so I hope that I hope we can get it moving. As you know, we've got a hearing tomorrow in Rapid City, and we've got John Browse, who's the chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, coming out for that. And he and I have unveiled a comprehensive bill that literally we did spend months working on that we think helps tackle this years-long crisis at IHS, which really came to a head late last year.
Were you surprised at some of the stories that you heard, or had they been building and you had heard some of them before?
Well, there had obviously been problems there before. You know, we kind of went through a process back in 2010, 2011. We had a task force, and some recommendations came out of that, unfortunately, none of which turns out were implemented. Mm-hmm. And so when we started hearing these anecdotal stories again about dirty and unsanitary equipment, patients being prematurely discharged from the hospital, babies being born on bathroom floors with no personnel there to oversee any of that, it was really a sad commentary on how the state of things had gotten. And I think that, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we had been kind of an ongoing dialogue with IHS over the past several years, and in most of these cases they assured us that things are better, things have improved, and we came to find out that none of the monitoring that was supposed to have been done or the reporting that we were supposed to be getting was an accurate representation of what actually was happening. And so it had really deteriorated. Something needed to be done, desperately needed to be done. And so we're taking what we think is a course of action that will help solve the problem long-term and short-term.
How do you approach that level of reform when things have fallen to the point that they have today?
I think that you have to, you know, you've got to start with the basics. And, of course, it starts at the top with leadership, and that's one of the things that we have felt. The people leading the agency have become a barrier to delivering quality care. And, you know, and if that's the case, then they ought to be looking for a new job. And so one of the provisions in our bill makes it easier for the Secretary of Health and Human Services to terminate underperforming senior leaders. Because it's no longer acceptable to simply reassign somebody who's not getting the job done to another position. We've got to have change at the top, and then we've got to reform the way in which they recruit people and hopefully provide incentives to retain good people, reform their hiring practices, protect whistleblowers. So if somebody does, if there's a, you know, something that comes out that needs to be reported that they don't get retaliated against, you know, increased higher level of fiscal accountability and transparency, those are issues that that our bill gets at. And so it is. I think it's the most comprehensive legislation probably in a very long time when it comes to dealing with these these problems, but it was brought to a head last year, and things need to change. There's no question about that.
Do you anticipate a leadership house cleaning of sorts?
Well, I mean, I think there've got to be. We want to make sure that the top leadership at Health and Human Services, which oversees IHS, has the authority that they need to make those changes if they feel it's necessary. And I do think that, like any bureaucracy, IHS has kind of gotten just accustomed to the status quo. And there's sort of an acceptance of mediocrity. There's not the commitment to providing high-quality health care. And I don't think there's been the consultation with the tribes. The relationship between the tribes and the IHS is probably at an all-time low. And in the time that I've been in office, and had a lot of conversations with the tribes over the years, and typically IHS is one of the issues that we discuss, but I don't think I've ever seen just the disconnect, the huge disconnect that exists today between the Indian Health Service and the tribes themselves. And so one of the things our bill, of course, insists on as well is greater consultation with the tribes when it comes to hiring people, getting the right people in there, allowing leadership changes to take place, but also making sure that the tribes are involved in a very systematic way in some of those decisions, and that there is that consultation. I mean, none of this works if you don't have input from the people that you're there to serve. And I think it's just that has really fallen by the wayside, and that's a problem that has to be corrected.
Do you know what went wrong? How did we get here?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I think it's kind of a cumulative thing, but there were some, going back to 2010 in the task force, so some recommendations that came out that called for regular reporting and monitoring and sort of audits of the work that's being done there. I would inquire, both in the form of letters and then in meetings, about the progress on that, and we were always assured that they were doing really well. And ironically, the very day last December when it was announced that these hospitals were being put on diversion status, my staff had just been told by the IHS that everything had been fixed, that all these problems had been abated. The very same day that CMS, which is a third party, basically said we're not going to reimburse these emergency rooms for services because they don't meet our standards. And so there's just a real, I just think the lines of communication, the transparency, the accountability hasn't been there. And frankly, it's been a situation that's been building for some time. But I think it all comes back to making sure that people are held accountable. And, you know, we've tried that to do that, but it took a third party, CMS, to basically blow the whistle and say, these guys just aren't getting the job done.
From the outside, it sounds like there's some deception involved. Is that something that you're seeing as well?
Well, straight up dishonesty? I always assume that, you know, I always give people best intentions, or I try not to make judgments about that. But it's clear that the story that was being told, the narrative that was being conveyed, I think probably to Congress and to the higher ups at HHS, as well as probably to the tribes, didn't fit with the facts. And so there was clearly a reality gap there. Now, whether somebody was that was intentional, but all I can tell you is there was a very big gap, deficit, between what we were being told and what actually were the facts on the ground. And again, I think that comes back to making sure that you've got the right leadership, making sure you've got strong accountability measures and reporting and transparency, because there were some serious shortcomings with that in this circumstance.
Are there consequences for things that have happened over the last few months, or are you looking forward only?
Well, we want to fix the problem. We know, and I say this, there are a lot of good people that work at the IHS and that are very dedicated. And this is not an indictment of them as much as it is, I think, a reflection of the leadership. And people have to be well led, and they also there has to be a commitment to excellence. I mean, you're talking about delivering health care to a large community of people, and that's a service. I mean, We have a responsibility, a binding legal responsibility, treaty responsibility to provide care to tribal members throughout the country, and the IHS has failed in that. And so it's failed not only in that legal obligation, but I think there's a moral duty as well to provide quality health care. And so we're going to insist this time around, at least, that there is the kind of accountability and reporting that we need. And I think if we can get the bill enacted, it will provide some, it will strengthen the ability to do that.
How frustrated are those service-minded employees, those people who are on the ground trying to do good work? How frustrated are they? Are you hearing from them at all?
Well, you know, we've tried to keep lines of communication going with everybody that's involved in this, and I think there are IHS staff and personnel who are frustrated, and because nobody wants to work in an agency that is constantly being criticized or failing to live up to people's expectations for them. So what we do in our bill is we want to give the Health and Human Services Secretary the ability to reward employees for good performance and for finding innovative ways to improve patient care, to promote patient safety, to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. And because I always think that when you incentivize people, they tend to respond. And so we do give the Secretary of Health and Human Services flexibility to create competitive pay scales, to provide temporary housing assistance for medical professionals, because we want to encourage a culture within IHS that really does strive for excellence, and it raises the bar and creates an environment where not only is quality health care delivered, but employees can really succeed and prosper as well.
Senator Thune, what's the pace of reform? When do of a long-term reform like this? When do we start seeing results?
It's like anything. It takes you take these things in steps. Obviously, we have taken a lot of time, examined the issue, interacted with the tribes, and we'll be doing that again tomorrow. And to make sure that we're getting the input from them. And we have put together a piece of legislation that we think, as I said, is a very comprehensive approach to reforming IHS, most comprehensive bill that we've seen in a long time. And it's been filed. I hope we can get action on it. Obviously, we don't need to wait for legislation. The changes that IHS needs to make can begin, and we're following up with them. I met last week with Mary Wakefield, who has IHS under her jurisdiction, and she's going to be out there tomorrow testifying in front of the committee. And so that was last week. So we're constantly getting through, I think, what has been a very difficult process of weeding out, hopefully some of the bad actors, and creating a different culture there. And they insist that they're on top of it, and this time's going to be different, and we're going to insist that it is different. Mm-hmm. So it's a process, I think, right now of moving forward, and then the legislation, if it gets to where we can move it, I think helps put in place the kind of provisions that that require the reforms that need to take place. But that process can start anytime, and it has.
I'm wondering, how does the healthcare on the reservation compare geographically to rural healthcare in other parts of South Dakota? Are there similarities to the distance that people have to travel to receive emergency care? Do you see a correlation between rural healthcare in general in South Dakota and what we're facing on the reservation on tribal land?
I think it's always hard when you're in areas of South Dakota where you're dealing with big geography. And so I don't discount the challenge that that we face when it comes to delivering quality care to our tribal communities. Most of them are fairly remote, but that's why we have to do a better job. And I think that hospitals in rural areas, generally speaking, I don't know of any, at least currently, and maybe it's happened, where they've been put on this status that the tribal hospitals were. I mean, CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, oversees hospitals across the country and ensures that they're meeting certain standards. And CMS basically said the emergency rooms at both Rosebud and Pine Ridge, and then temporarily Susan out in Rapid City, weren't meeting their standards, and that they weren't going to reimburse for services provided at those hospitals. So that was a huge wake-up call to have a third party say that and basically shut down emergency rooms in a couple of hospitals. I'm not aware, and I could be perhaps corrected if wrong, of hospitals in rural areas, public hospitals that have are going through that process right now. But I think there's always an accountability that needs to be in place. And, whether you're in an urban area or a rural area of South Dakota, big town, small town, I think the expectation is that the people who are there delivering health care will deliver a quality service, and that people will get the kind of treatment that they deserve. And that's what this whole effort is all about with regard to our tribal communities and our tribal citizens, is that the agency that is principally responsible for ensuring that they receive that kind of quality health care is up to the job and following through with it.
How does this legislation dovetail with what Representative Kristi Noem is doing with the Health Act in the House of Representatives? Are they partners somehow? Do they work together?
Sure, I think that she has her own bill. I think in many respects it's similar to some of the provisions in ours, I would hope that as the process moves forward here in the Congress, that we're trying to attack this on multiple fronts. I think every member of the delegation is doing what it can, doing what they can to see that there's a response. Governor Rounds has asked for a GAO audit, which I think IHS is open to, and that I think would probably be very helpful in helping sort of lay out and add further shed further light on what some of those issues are. But I think each member of the delegation is trying to work, and we're all headed toward the same goal. And her bill, although it has its similarities to ours, I think probably has a few other provisions in it, but they're all designed to make the IHS more accountable, to create an environment where quality health care is delivered to citizens in our tribal communities, and that we create a whole new environment, and one hopefully that will have some permanence. I think all of our efforts are designed not just near in the near term, but putting in place something that will have long-term consequence and long-term improvement.
You said Governor Rounds. You mean Senator Rounds, right? Or did you mean?
Yes, I meant okay. Senator Rounds.
There
correct.
We go.
Sorry, yes, that's right. Yeah.
One more
yeah.
question. I know you've got a full schedule, but how good can this be? What's your vision for success with this bill and on the ground in South Dakota?
Well, I think that ultimately the metric is you want to get off these lists. You want to have these facilities opened up again, but more importantly than that, you want to just have them open. You want to have them open and delivering quality health care, and that means making sure that we have professionals, medical professionals who are willing to serve in these areas and providing the right incentives to attract those type of people and to retain them. I think it involves changing the culture at the IHS. But the bottom line is the delivery of health services that meet standards and expectations that are that I think every American should expect. And so that's what we'll be looking to see accomplished. And ultimately, I think the metric for that will be the tribes themselves and the citizens on our reservations who access these facilities. And so I hope that what comes out of this at the end, too, is a much better relationship between the IHS, between the tribes, much more consultation, much more input, much more communication, so that we don't get to a point like we have here where you end up having a third-party entity, in this case CMS, basically coming in and saying, we got to shut these facilities down because they don't meet our basic standards of public health and safety. That's a horrible place to be. And we want to get to a place where not only are these facilities open and operating at a safe level, but also operating at a level that is committed to providing high-quality health care and has a commitment to excellence to the people that they're serving.
Raising the bar is our moral duty.
Yeah, it sure it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, there's a town hall in Rapid City today for people to voice their concerns. It's staff-led, so anybody who wants to come will have that opportunity. And then, of course, we've got a more structured hearing tomorrow, but we definitely want to raise the bar.
We'll put all that information on our website. I want to thank you for joining us, Senator Thune. Travel safely home this afternoon.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Lori. All right. Bye now.
Thank you.